I was going to say please be seated, but you already have done. I'd now like to run through some housekeeping arrangements. Please note that this meeting is being recorded and the sound recording will be made available on the Council's website. Under the Openness of Local Government Bodies regulations, people may film, record, tweet or blog this meeting, and this is outside the Council's control. I would also like to remind councillors and other people attending the meeting that the fire exits are to the rear and side of the room. There are no fire alarm tests planned this evening. Could I also ask that everyone turns off their mobile phones or switches them to silent so that the meeting isn't disturbed? I would also like to remind councillors that when they speak, they are required to stand if they are able to do so to address the meeting. This is a requirement of the Council's constitution. The first item on the agenda is apologies for absence. I have apologies from councillors Baldwin, Gerard, Rawlings, Beverly Gray and Williams, and also from Honorary Alderman Joe Tormey, Tony Scott and Alderman Bush. Are there any other apologies, please? Thank you. Thank you. Any others? Thank you. I'll now move on to item two, disclosures of pecuniary interests and other registrable and non-registrable interests. I will now call on the Chief Executive to report on disclosures of interest in the business to be considered at this meeting. Disclosable pecuniary interests and registrable interests relate to entries that are included or should be included on a councillor's register of interests. Non-registrable interests relate to any other matters. Chief Executive.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have a number of disclosures. Councillor Barclay for item 9.1 as a non-registrable interest as a member of Leicestershire County Council and a member of the Pension Committee. Councillor Shepherd, also in item 9.1 and also a non-registrable interest as a member of Leicestershire County Council and a member of the Pension Board. Councillor Jewel Meir, 9.1 as an other registrable interest as a member of Leicestershire County Council Pension Scheme. And Councillor Tillotson, also in item 9.1 as a non-registrable interest as a recipient of Leicestershire County Council Pension. Can I just check if there are any other declarations from the floor, please?
Councillor Grimley.
Thank you, Chair. 9.1, registrable interest as I'm a member of the County Council and also on the or Vice Chairman of the Pensions Committee. Thank you.
Member of Leicestershire County Council.
Councillor Taylor.
9.1, other non-registrable interest as a member of LCC, and also my spouse receives a pension from LCC as well.
Thank you. Councillor Ranson, I think. Oh, sorry, I couldn't see from here, sorry. Councillor Seaton, did you indicate as well, please?
From the education through education, but it comes through the LCC and the fire service. So, thank you.
Councillor Fryer.
Thank you. I'm a member of the Leicestershire County Council.
Thank you, councillors.
I now move on to minutes of the meeting. I move that the minutes of the meeting of the Council held on the 5th of September 2022 be confirmed and signed as a correct record.
I second the minutes, Madam Mayor.
Does anyone wish to raise anything on the accuracy of the minutes? If so, please state the minute number. Since no issues have been raised, I take that to signify that the minutes are accepted as a correct record. Thank you. I'll sign the official minutes I have here with me and pass them to Democratic Services for archiving. Item four, announcements. Mayor's announcements first. Firstly, as this is the first council meeting since the passing of Her Majesty the Queen, I would like to express my sincerest condolences following the death of Her Majesty, who was an exceptional monarch and leader. She ruled with dignity and grace for 70 years and was sure in her faith and steadfastness in her duty. Her Majesty brought great comfort and consistency through many significant changes during her reign, such as the London 2012 Olympics, royal weddings and births, and Jubilee years. Most recently, her Platinum Jubilee this year. We also mourned with her following the death of her husband, the Duke of Edinburgh. We will remember Her late Majesty with great affection and gratitude for her unwavering service to her people. I would also like to say, on behalf of members and officers of Charnwood Borough Council, that we welcome with good faith our new sovereign, King Charles III. I'd also, changing subject completely, like to remind you about some upcoming mayoral events. We've got the fair opening on Wednesday, as I'm sure you all know, that's at 6 o'clock. Following that, we've got the armistice service at the Carillon Tower and other services across the borough on that day. We've also got the Santa Fun Run, which is in aid of rainbows, and that's on Sunday the 4th of December. So if you haven't already signed up, there's still plenty of time and I'll be there to cheer you on. There's Rainbow's Christmas service on Wednesday the 7th of December. That's at Emmanuel Church and everyone is welcome to attend that. And finally, of the items I'm telling you about, on Monday the 19th of December at 7 o'clock, we've got our community carol service and that's at Holy Trinity Parish Church. And I'll call on the leader to make his announcement.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have no announcements this evening.
And Chief Executive's announcements?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have no announcements to make.
I now move on to item 5, petitions. Are there any petitions to be presented? No? Thank you very much. We'll move on to item 6.1. Review of polling districts, polling places and polling stations outcome. This is page 12 of your papers. I call on Councillor Mogan to propose the item.
Madam Mayor, to comply with requirements of the Electoral Registration and Administration Act 2013 and to ensure that any amended arrangements for polling districts, polling places and polling stations are in place in time for the borough elections on the 4th of May 2023, following the review undertaken by the Local Government Boundary Commission for England, I move that the proposals of the Chief Executive as set out in the annex to this report, which are put forward in his capacity as the Returning Officer for Elections for future arrangements for polling districts, polling places, and polling stations be approved.
I second this, Madam Mayor, and reserve my rights. Thank you.
If any councillors would like to speak, can you please raise your hand? Councillor Grimley.
Thank you, Chair. Madam Mayor, I do welcome this report and I'm glad to see now we've got a polling station in Hamilton Lee, which has been a bit of a problem for residents there. They've now got one close by. Moving forward, obviously not for this election, but as Thorpe development gets more houses, obviously they will need their own polling station as well. Thank you.
Councillor Taylor.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I noticed there's a new one in Anstey, which is probably welcome because the village is growing at a really fast rate. My only concern is that it's at a school, and I think we should be really careful about having polling stations at schools. I do note in the report that it's saying the school doesn't need to close, but if there comes a time where it's not able to be used without the school closing, then I think we should look for an alternative because it's not good to have children off for the day just due to polling. So just something to note for the future. Thank you.
Does anyone else wish to raise any comments? In that case, I call on Councillor Meir.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm happy for Councillor Morgan to take those points up.
And Councillor Morgan, would you like to sum up?
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. Very little to add apart from acknowledging the points from Councillor Grimley about the additional polling station at Hamilton Lee, which is certainly welcome, and also acknowledging Councillor Taylor's points. I know that the Electoral Services team, in particular in the Returning Officer, have tried extraordinarily hard over the last few years to make sure that no school closures result from the polling, and long may that continue. Thank you. I recommend this for support. Thank you.
I'll now put the motion to the vote. Can I see all those in favour, please? And those against? Are there any abstentions? The motion is carried. Thank you. Now move on to item 6.2, authorisation of absence. I call on Councillor Meir to propose this item.
Madam Mayor, to enable Councillor Baldwin's absence to be authorised by the Council prior to the end of the six-month period since he was last able to attend an in-person meeting as required by Section 85-1 of the Local Government Act 1972, I move that should Councillor Baldwin be unable to attend the Council meeting, his absence since the Personnel Committee on the 7th of June 2022 be authorised due to his ongoing ill health.
I second this, Madam Mayor, and reserve my right to speak.
Are there any councillors wish to speak? Can you please raise your hand? Councillor Morgan.
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. I'm very, very happy to support this motion. All of those within my group, and I know all councillors here tonight, will wish Paul our well wishes on his speedy recovery. And our thoughts are with him and also with his friends, family and colleagues.
Councillor Hamilton, do you wish to have anything to say?
I'm happy for Councillor Meir to sum up, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Meir. Would you like to sum up?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I welcome Councillor Morgan's kind word there. And yes, Councillor Baldwin, we're all wishing the speediest of recovery from his operation. Thank you.
I'm now putting the motion to the vote. Can I see all those in favour? Is there anyone against? Are there any abstentions? That's carried. Thank you very much. And I'll move on to item 7, call-in references. There are no call-in references from scrutiny. And item 8, position statements. There are no position statements requested or received. And item 9, motions on notice. There is one motion on notice on the agenda about Charnwood Borough Council's divestment submitted by Councillor Ward in accordance with the full council procedure rule 9.2.12. So, Councillor Ward, do you like to move your motion?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Yes, I'll be moving the motion. So it's not the first time this issue's been raised in the chamber. In fact, Councillor Needham, who's seconding the motion this evening, raised this issue back in 2020. This motion consists largely of two requests. The first, that Charnwood acknowledges that its employee pensions investments in fossil fuel contribute to its carbon footprint, and secondly, that it cannot dictate to Leicestershire County Council how to manage its employee pension funds. On the first point, last time it was raised, the response given by the lead member at the time was that Charnwood Borough Council has no investments in fossil fuels, as Leicestershire County Council holds our employees' pension funds. Before that argument's put forward again, I'd like to point out via a simple comparison that just because someone else is holding your sandwich for you doesn't mean that you didn't pay for it and don't intend to eat it, and the same applies here. It's naive to try to distance ourselves from these investments simply because they aren't held in our own bank accounts. It's Charnwood money invested in them for Charnwood employees, and as such, these investments do contribute to our carbon footprint, and anyone saying they don't is simply trying to reframe the facts. Unless we start to take ownership and responsibility in Charnwood for our own contributions, then we stand little chance of reaching our target of achieving carbon neutrality by 2030. On the second point, Charnwood invests into this pension fund on behalf of its employees, And in fact, two of our Charnwood Borough councillors sit on the fund board in the roles of chair and vice chair. And as such, Charnwood has a responsibility to those employees to ensure that the assets they've invested in are secure. The UN International Energy Agency predicts that global oil demand will significantly fall by 2030. Former Bank of England Governor Mark Carney warned that fossil fuel investments risk becoming stranded assets as investors exit the sector. And Leicester and District Trade Union Council recently backed the campaign led by Climate Action Leicester and Leicestershire for local councils to divest their members' pension investments from fossil fuels. Now is the time to make these changes while the value of these investments is still relatively high before they are rendered worthless by the inevitable and desperately necessary move to renewables and sustainable sources of energy. Charnwood wouldn't be setting a precedent by passing this motion, but they would be a leader. As an example, all five local authorities making up the West Yorkshire Combined Authority have passed similar motions. I, for one, would certainly rather be leading on this issue than following and having to explain to our council employees in a few years' time why their pensions have been devalued as a result of our inaction, and to our residents now why we're not taking our commitment to becoming carbon neutral seriously.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Needham.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I second this motion and I reserve my right to speak.
Does anyone wish to... Right, if you can raise your hands. Councillor Mercer.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The reason why I am opposed to what I think is little more than virtue signalling is because it's not actually our money. It's the money that belongs to our former employees and employees. And if we go down this slippery slope of saying, well, we don't want them to invest in fossil fuels, and yeah, let's get rid of Israel as well, and factory farming and gambling and the arms trade and alcohol and tobacco, and then we can have a really ethical pension fund. But the problem is, Madam Mayor, there won't be much money coming into that fund. So Councillor Ward said, well, what will we say to our employees in the future? Well, when we see our chief officers standing outside McDonald's begging for money, we can say, well, look, don't worry. It was a very ethical pension fund that's delivering you £50 a year. And that, on that basis, Madam Mayor, I would oppose this motion and say that by all means, if the four employees want their pensions to be invested ethically, it's their choice, but it's not ours to tell them what to do with the money.
Councillor Barclay.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Members are aware that Charnwood Borough Council is not responsible for investment decisions of the pension fund. They have no part in it at all. It's worth highlighting the pension fund is in the process of developing a net zero climate strategy, which looks to address some of the issues raised in the motion. The draft strategy will be presented to the local pension committee on the 18th of November, and subject to its approval, is expected to go out for further consultation with members, employers, and other interested parties. I don't know where sandwiches come into it, but I don't usually let anybody hold my sandwich. Climate change is taken extremely seriously. Charnwood Borough Council has absolutely no way of influencing the way the money is invested, but for many years now, the local pension fund has taken and is taking responsible investment action. We do not employ any fund managers who do not show a strong commitment to environment, social and governance areas. The whole of the local pension fund, there is a local authority pension fund forum, and that is used to bring pressure on companies who invest in fossil fuels or involved in fossil fuels to move into renewable energy sources. We can have a lot more influence on them by actually being invested and voting at meetings than we can by simply giving it to someone else who will do nothing or make no effort at all to get these companies to change their policies. It'll be interesting, we have consulted with all the members of the local pension fund and they have responded. I look forward to seeing what their attitude is. Realistically, we do, as it points out in the motion, we do have a fiduciary issue to look after the planet, but also to look after the pension fund of the officers of all local authorities. I'm confident that we are moving in the right direction. All our investment managers who advise us are only too aware of what we want to do. Metrics by these companies are for climate change are developing the whole time. Over the last 3 or 4 years, they've got better and better. And we have a quarterly review of what is going on. But we're simply throwing the ball away and pretending that if we give it to someone else, that they'll do what we do is simply not on. So as we have no influence over the investments in this fund, I can't recommend that we vote for this motion.
Thank you, Councillor Barclay.
But the idea of what we're doing is excellent.
Councillor Hamilton.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I fully support this motion for the very reasons given by Councillor Ward. I'm also somewhat disappointed to hear what I've heard from across the way there, because this council surely has a duty of care, not only to the people of Charnwood, but to the employees of Charnwood Borough Council. And even though we do not have perhaps a direct say in it, we can surely have a voice, have an opinion that should be expressed. And there clearly is not only a strong moral case for this, there is a strong financial case. It's quite obvious now that such fossil fuel-based assets will quickly become devalued over the coming years. So we should be fully advocating and supporting a managed glide path away from investments in fossil fuels. We can already see it happening by investment banks. I think Goldman Sachs is now beginning to have a policy where it's withdrawing from investment in fossil fuels. Other insurance companies are developing policies not to underwrite new coal mining, for example. This is beginning to happen. And the way the market works, it can turn very quickly, because the market, the animal spirits of market is a mixture of kind of greed and fear, as it were. And we're now in the greed phase because of what's happening and energy prices. But it can quickly turn to fear within the next few years as we begin to move away to decarbonize. And these assets will rapidly devalue. So we have to be advocating, as I say, as a duty of care, not only to the people of Charnwood, but to the employees of Charnwood Borough Council, that we do actually divest. It's financially prudent to do so in a managed manner. So I fully support this motion. Thank you.
Councillor Mayer.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Burning fossil fuels contributes significantly to global warming, and I don't think anybody needs me to say that. It's been the biggest thing happening on our planet for the last 20-odd years and before. But on the week of COP27, when we got the world leaders in Egypt talking about this very thing, we're here, and it seems to be that we put a motion forward and others are reluctant to support it, and the things that they put forward, which startles me, is investment and returns on investment. But fossil fuels is only a small part of the market, of the investment market. There are lots of other investments and lots of other companies which the pension fund can invest in. And the pension fund's AGM is on December the 12th, I believe. Councillor Barclay may be able to clarify that. So this is the perfect timing if we wanted to feed into the decision making. This is the process to do it. The fact that Leicestershire County Council look after the pension fund, but Charnwood Borough Council employees and some former councillors, no doubt, have fed into the pension scheme and feed into it now, it means that we do have a say and a voice, and we should express that clearly. And if we don't express that clearly, then it's a dereliction of duty, I believe, because one of the things that fossil fuels do that's local to to everybody, and we can see it's like air pollution. You know, we talk about air pollution all the time in my local neighbourhood because of the amount of traffic that's happening. And it's one of those. So if we could shift over to electric vehicles, the quicker we do that, the better it will be. And imagine if our pension funds and all the pension funds invested in those kind of companies that moved away from fossil fuels and the companies that use fossil fuels to those other companies and gave them millions of pounds in investments through the pension funds. How faster would we be able to move from there? And we've got a net zero target 2030, 2050. It depends on who you want to believe where you're going to deliver it. But it's not going to happen without investments. And the pension funds hold billions and trillions of pounds. And that's the only way we're going to make a difference is if we start. And we can only start with our own local one, and which is the Leicestershire County Council one. Thank you.
Councillor Morgan.
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. So look, the basis of this motion, I think, is quite clear. It means well. It's talking about, obviously, investments in funds that are also carbon zero. We have our own carbon net zero target here in Charnwood. I'm very, very pleased that I was the councillor that proposed that target, and from memory, all councillors supported it. But there are parts of this motion that I have to say are really quite concerning. So, for instance, the council commits that we recognise the investments in the pension fund are also counted against our carbon footprint. I can't even begin to explain how infeasible that is, and how worrying that the concept of anything that we spend our money on, whether it's on behalf of our staff and their pensions, which is part of their pay salary, but also the implications on all sorts of other investments or payments that we make to contractors, to salary, to councillors. At what point do we actually say that actually every single penny that comes out of Charnwood's coffers has to actually be registered against a carbon footprint? Because it would mean that not only do we actually have to start going through the pension fund, it would also mean that we'd have to go through the company accounts of all those that we actually contract to. It would mean that we actually start having to go through the personal accounts of all of our employees and ask them what they're actually spending their money on. But it would also mean actually also going through all of our accounts and actually asking, what is the carbon input of the money that's been spent on you as councillors? It is well-meaning, but incredibly unrealistic. So the timing of this, I think, is quite interesting. It's obviously time to be part of the COP26 conference. I understand this motion has gone up and down the country through Labour groups all over the place. But as Councillor Barclay set out, the pension group that manages all of our staff pension funds across the whole of the city and also the county area are in the process of actually doing this themselves, of actually responding to this. And indeed, if you actually spend 30 or 60 seconds on Google, not only do you actually come up with the minutes of the last pension fund meeting where it actually explains what they're about to do and the timescales, but also it has an FAQ section that actually sets out some of the problems with this motion, in particular, actually the sums quoted being inaccurate as far as the pension fund body itself is concerned. So I do have a problem with this. It is, unfortunately, the timing. I understand the timing, it's political, but the repercussions of actually passing this are unsavoury and also unworkable. And that's why I don't think it's a good idea. I think we should wait, find out what the pension fund across the county are doing. And then at that point, if you want further discussion, by all means, come back. Let's discuss things. But there is a process. The committee is working through what it needs to work through, and the Labour group member, I think, is actually from the
Thank
City
you,
Council.
Thank you, Councillor Morgan.
Let them do their work.
Councillor Grimley.
Thank you, Mayor. Picking up on a couple points there, I mean, as a pensions committee, we do have experts that are looking at trends and are looking at what is viable, what to sell, what to buy. So we do rely a lot on the experts who do know what is happening in the market at this present time. So I think they are looking at the different areas, and if it did felt things would be sort of going down low, they'll certainly look at selling perhaps at a loss, but that may well happen. But I think the important thing to mention is that we do spend a lot of time when we are looking at these investments, looking at the carbon footprints of companies and discussing the well, or within the pension funds, discussing the green aspects as well. We have got some green pension funds as well. It is a mix and bringing more of those on stream. So there are things happening and moving in the right direction, which I think is important. We do listen to the members, which is, again, important. It is the members, not in Charnwood, is one group of members. There are lots of other members and lots of other employees. But I think the responsible investment strategy is being put in place. I think that's a good thing, moving in the right direction. And that's really what I just wanted to say tonight.
Councillor Poland.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I won't speak for long, but I'm just thinking, in terms of climate change, that is obviously a key issue. I think any sane and sensible person sort of accepts that and acknowledges that now that's where the science is. In terms of how that then relates to the motion tonight, my concern would be very much not to confuse that with sort of the financial prudence in terms of management of our employees' pension pots. That I think it's entirely possible that in years to come it will turn into be the case that fossil fuels are increasingly seen as a thing of the past as renewables come forward, especially in the UK where we have abundance of wind, tidal and so forth. So I think in years to come it's entirely possible that it could be seen as the future. But in terms of us here tonight saying we want to make that decision on behalf of the people who run the pension pot here tonight, I don't think we're comfortable doing that. I think it's important to separate sort of what we see as an issue in terms of climate change and almost a political side of it with a purely financial side of it in terms of managing a pension pot. And for that reason, I will vote against the motion tonight because I think it's important to leave the financial decisions to those who are tasked and charged with managing the finances on behalf of everyone who receives a pension from Leicestershire.
Councillor Needham, you reserved your right to speak.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you to the councillors opposite who have explained multiple times the way that the pension schemes work. Thank you for that, but we were aware. I think some of you may have actually misunderstood the motion because it isn't actually forcing the pension fund to do anything. It's simply stating that this is the kind of action that we would like them to take. If the amount of commitment is ongoing, as the members have mentioned, that they are taking this seriously, then I can't really see why this is such a controversial motion, because it's apparently reinforcing exactly what's already happening. So rather than actually virtue signalling, it is actually about showing leadership on something that we've already committed to as a council. So members opposite that are quite concerned about that we might be forcing the pension fund to do X, Y, Z, that's not what the motion's about at all. It's about acknowledging that our money, as I think Councillor Ward quite clearly explained, how is this council's money invested in that fund, how we would like that used and counted as part of our carbon commitments, but also that we do show leadership on this, and we say that we would like the council to continue moving, the pension fund to continue moving in the direction that the councillors opposite have described. I can't see why this is controversial at all, and I would urge everybody to vote in favour of the motion. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Ward, you now have 5 minutes to sum up.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And thank you, Councillor Needham, for covering some of the points that I was going to come back on. In response to some of the comments from the members opposite, I'm really glad that pension fund members have been consulted with, and I look forward to seeing the feedback from that consultation as well, especially since, as I stated at the beginning, Leicester District Trade Council support this motion and local councils divesting from fossil fuels, and also Unison. And I know that a lot of the other trade unions that represent employees that work for the council are also looking into supporting it. Charnwood does have an influence, and I think it's naive to try and abdicate that influence. As Councillor Needham pointed out, we're aware of how the pension fund is managed and who manages it. We don't have the gift to dictate to the county council, but those are our employees' pension funds, and we do have a right
to input into that process. So I think it's irresponsible not to, frankly. In response to the point made, I think, by Councillor Mercer, that we're going to be leaving all of our employees paupers in their dotage, there are other things that we can invest those funds in that will have a high value, and they are sustainable and renewable sources of energy because they are the future. And lastly, I'd just like to point out that this is something that we can vote on. Councillor Morgan's point about us having to look at our carbon footprint on all services that we contract, I was amazed to hear that that's not something that he thought we ought to be doing, because we ought to. The contractors that we contract for services, their carbon footprint does impact on the council, and we should be looking at that, and it should be a factor in procurement. So that's all I'd like to say, Madam Mayor. I'd also like to ask for a named vote on this item. Thank you.
Madam Mayor, I second that. Thank you.
Thank you. In that case, I'm about to put the motion to the vote, but we need to just organise ourselves to do it as a named vote. So just give us a moment or two. Chief Executive's going to call out the names, so if you can respond appropriately.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So, record of a named vote then. Councillor Richard Bailey. Yes. Councillor Paul Baines. Yes. Councillor Tom Barclay.
Against.
Councillor Ian Bentley.
Against.
Councillor Jenny Boker.
Yes.
Councillor Baldwin. Present. Councillor Simon Bradshaw.
Yes.
Councillor Julie Bradshaw.
For.
Councillor Matthew Brooks is absent. Councillor Roy Campbell. Councillor John Capleton.
Yes.
Councillor Mark Charles.
Yes.
Councillor Lee Harper Davies. Yes. Councillor Mary Draycott.
For.
Councillor Sandy Forrest. Councillor Hilary Fryer. Councillor Sue Gerard. Absent, apologies. Councillor Kat Goddard.
For.
Councillor Anne Gray.
For.
Councillor Beverly Gray. Absent. Councillor Daniel Grimley. Councillor Leon Hadjai Nicolaou. Councillor Colin Hamilton.
For.
Councillor Keith Harris. Councillor Christine Harris. Councillor Julian Howe. Councillor Jane Hunt. Councillor Mark Lowe. Councillor Paul Mercer. Councillor Jill Meir. Councillor Jonathan Morgan. Councillor Paul Murphy. Councillor Laurie Needham.
For.
Councillor Ken Pacey. Councillor Andy Paling. Councillor Jeff Parsons. Councillor Ted Parton. Councillor James Poland. Councillor Popley, Robin Popley. Councillor Christine Radford. Councillor Paula Ranson. Councillor Shona Rattery. Councillor Rawlings is absent. Councillor John Savage. Councillor Brenda Seaton.
Against.
Councillor Richard Shepherd. Councillor Margaret Smidowitz.
Against.
Councillor David Snart. Councillor Deborah Taylor. Councillor Jenny Tillotson.
Abstain.
Councillor Emma Ward.
For.
Councillor Ian Williams. Absent, I believe. Okay. Take a second to make sure we've got the totals.
The motion was lost. That was 11 for, 33 against, and 2 abstentions. Thank you.
That was close, weren't it?
Right. And now move on to item 10, which is questions on notice. As a reminder, the questions that councillors have submitted and the answers to them are in the supplements pack. I'll call on those councillors who have indicated they wish to ask a supplementary question. Supplementary questions must relate directly and exclusively to the question submitted, and any other supplementary question will not be permitted. Each councillor will have 1 minute to ask their supplementary question, and the councillor responding will also be able to speak for up to 1 minute. So item 10.1, gas checks at council properties. Councillor Draycott, would you like to ask your supplementary question?
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to ask the leader or cabinet lead how they would feel if any of these 98 properties were next door to them, with such a slow process by this council of gaining entry. The potential of a dangerous situation is real. Would they agree to checking out best practice of other councils in order to speed up this legal requirement? Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Poland, would you like to respond?
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and thank you, Councillor Draycott, for your question. I would feel that I'd want my council and landlord to be doing the very most they could to gain entry to the properties where the gas needed to be checked, and that's in fact what we're doing. We do everything within our power to gain entry, to make sure that we do the checks necessary. But in terms of the second part of the question, can we look at best practice? Absolutely, let's always look at best practice. You know, no one's perfect, and we're not, and let's learn from what others are doing. So absolutely.
Thank you. Item 10.2, housing register. Councillor Draycott, would you like to ask your supplementary question?
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. With 1,410 in total on the housing register, which does not include all of the single people, mainly males, due to the council reducing the banding system, is the cabinet leader or the leader aware that there are 135 empty council properties across this borough, some standing empty for over a year? I have been told 52 require major works and 83 standard works. So my question is the cabinet deciding over 18 months ago for multiple housing contractors, would that be regarded as a distraction to the day job for the housing officers, Madam Mayor? Thank you.
Mercer, would you like to respond?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We're obviously fully aware of that, and I think Councillor Draycott's also aware that there have been problems obviously caused by COVID, which we're catching up on, and also vacancies. But Madam Mayor, today we did interviews for a new head of service, and on the feedback that we've had, I'm fairly confident we're going to have a new head of service who I believe will be more than capable of aggressively tackling these issues. So I'm confident that things will be improving in the future. And more positively, Madam Mayor, the number of people on the register has remained relatively constant. Predictions that it was going to get considerably worse because of the cost of living crisis haven't actually materialised. Thank you.
Item 10.3. Consolidating Charnwood Borough Council income and making provision for residents. Councillor Gray, would you like to ask your supplementary question?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Yes, this relates in some way to what we've just heard. And whilst appreciating the problems of the past few years, we've been shocked to find out how much income is being lost at this time, nearly £1.5 million a year. Not to mention the cost to our residents, of course. For example, one Shelthorpe resident that Beverly and I have, she's waited nearly 4 years for repairs to her house. It's in such a serious condition that she needs to move out. She's still paying rent, but there's nowhere for her to move to at the moment. So can I ask, are we able to make sure that she and others in such a situation are prioritised, then all housing stock put in good order? and garage areas either put in order or used for housing, social housing, instead of being targets for crime and fly tipping. Will this be a priority, please?
Poland, would you like to answer?
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and thank you, Councillor Gray, for your question. As you said in the question, we've gone through some uniquely difficult circumstances over the past few years. Obviously, we've had the pandemic, but in addition to that, we've had getting new contracts in place and other challenges, but we've hit those challenges head on. And in the written answer to the question, there's a lot of the things that we're doing to counter and to come back from that in there. I won't read them out for brevity of time. In addition to that, we're looking at the properties that are listed there. A lot of them are not fit for 21st century, and they're going through what's called the Sheltered Housing Review, where we're going to be investing significant amounts of money in them to get them to a standard or to put something new accommodation there that's fit for 21st century, that will last well into the middle of this century and hopefully beyond, that people will really want to live in. In regards to the question about your constituents specifically, again, please come to me with the details of the name and address, and I'll make sure to go to the relevant lead officer and we'll come back to you in writing on that.
Thank you, Councillor Poland. Item 10.4, the store future planning. Councillor Julie Bradshaw, would you like to ask your supplementary question?
Madam Mayor, I would like to take both questions 10.5 and 10.4 together, please. Thank you. My first point to both answers is the tone, and secondly, the lack of support in these answers by this council to such an...
Can you do them individually, please?
It's all together. If you'd let me, if I can finish, please, Madam Mayor, and then, like, if you want me to repeat it again, the second
ask a question.
Question.
About and if it's a second. Question.
It's going to be one question, one answer to both questions.
It's going to be one question, yes, sir.
Okay, then. Go on. Carry on. 1 minute, then. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. My first point to both answers is the tone, and second, the lack of support in these answers by this council to such an important issue. The number of vulnerable people needing help, which can only increase with a recession now being forecast for the next 2 years, yet this council just stands back and does the minimum. My question is, why, when nearly every day press releases are going out about millions of pounds going here, going there in the borough, when will the people of Charnwood get the council's attention? After all, they pay council tax, charges and much, much more. Thank you.
Councillor Harper-Davis, do you wish to respond?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm sorry, Councillor Bradshaw, I couldn't really hear what you were saying or your key points. I think the answers are on the paper, as we see. I think what it does show that we highlight our the value of our strategic partners by supporting them. We've relaunched Community Action 2. I'm not quite sure of the point you're making is relative to the question, so I apologise for that. But we have value strategic members and partners, which we do support wholeheartedly. And we've just relaunched Community Action 2. So I don't think because as a council, we don't fall short. We support our residents in every way we can. And we do that in more ways than one. So thank you. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Item 10.6, plastic free market. Councillor Ward, would you like to ask your supplementary question?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Yes, I would. I was pleased to hear that there will be a push in December on sustainable shopping in the town centre. I'd like to ask if Charnwood will be giving away or selling Bags for Life as part of this. I also welcome the fact that market traders will be encouraged to use as little single use plastic as possible. Can the lead member specify how they will be encouraged and how this information will be made available to shoppers and traders? And as the council will be reminding traders which plastics can be recycled via the council's recycling scheme, will recycling bags and bins be provided in the town centre on market days for traders and shoppers to make use of? I'm already aware from previous inquiries made that the waste disposed of in the litter bins in the town centre, despite the bins being labelled as recycling and general, is mixed on collection and disposed of as residual waste. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Boker, would you like to respond?
Yes, thank you.
I fully understand your concerns, Councillor Ward, and as you know, unfortunately, markets do produce a huge amount of waste, which Serco do a sterling job after market days to gather up and collect. The plastics, we're going to have another go at it, but obviously there are certain items that, like uncooked food and fish and meat, etc., that can only be put in a plastic bag. But the Bags for Life were given out, I think it was last year or maybe the year before, so there has been a huge distribution of Bags for Life, but unfortunately students, etc., do not bring them to the market and therefore use plastic bags. But I understand your concerns, and I'd love to have a discussion with you outside of council on a Zoom with Sylvia, and then we can use all these ideas. But a lot of it is education.
Thank you, Councillor Boker.
Thank you.
Item 10.7, cost of living funding. Councillor Mia, would you like to ask your supplementary question?
Cheers, thank you, Madam Mayor. This follows on from the position statement we asked for regarding the cost of living crisis at the last council meeting. And I welcome Cabinet looking at it and a sum of £180,000 coming forward. Some is better than none, as they say. But my concern was, and the questions I don't think are answered fully here, so I'm going to reiterate them, is that I think the £180,000 is a little bit on the stingy side, really. And we have reserves nearly £18 million if you total them all up. I know there's only £7.1 million listed here. If you take the £7.1 million, it's only 2.5%. If you take the £18 million, it's a 1%. So we're trying to give 1% back to our residents who've paid all the council tax over the years at a time when we have a cost of living crisis. But also, is how are we going to spend that money? Am I going to ask a question in April next year to ask how that money is spent and find out the majority of it is spent internally, as the Cabinet paper says? Not really. I want it to be spent out there in the community, given to our community centres, given to our residents, and so they can access the help.
Thank you.
And hopefully
Councillor
Morgan can shed some light. Thank you.
Councillor Morgan, would you like to respond?
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. So the council paper, the answer on the council paper obviously reflects the Cabinet paper that was put to the last Cabinet. That paper was also put through scrutiny, and I'm very, very pleased that it had a pretty wide-ranging discussion, a lot of questions answered. Many of the points that you've just covered are well and truly discussed at that scrutiny session. I know Councillor Hamilton and Councillor Harris were present and supported the recommendation that scrutiny supported the paper when it was put to Cabinet. And obviously, by all means, look at the record and the transcript of the Cabinet meeting itself, and you'll see that some of the points, again, that you've covered were covered in a lot more detail. So well worth looking at that. The 180,000 has come entirely from officers talking to the strategic partners that we work with. That's the figure that they've come up with. It's not just a figure plucked out of thin air. So it's important that we actually deal with what's needed rather than actually what we emote, what we feel might be the appropriate
Thank
figure.
Thank you, Councillor Morgan. Time is up. Councillor Forrest, item 10.8, cost of living warm rooms. Would you like to ask your supplementary question?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Excuse me. Thank you, Madam Mayor. I thank the respondent for the reply I've got. I think it's rather unsatisfactory. When I asked about warm rooms, I didn't mention council officers. I referred specifically to buildings. This is a very large building. Surely there is some space in this building somewhere where a facility could be made for a refreshment and a warm room at least one afternoon a week. I asked about funding facilities for groups who are providing warm rooms, hot drinks, warm clothing, etc. And I am told here in this reply that £180,000 funding is made available by the council. But referring to Councillor Portland's earlier reply to a question, that £180,000 will have to go a very long way.
Thank you, Councillor Forrest. I'm afraid your time is up. Did you have a question? Perhaps put your question in writing to Councillor Harper-Davies. Let's move on to 10.9, Town Centre. Oh, sorry, Councillor Harper-Davies. I didn't think there was a question, so I wasn't sure that there was anything to respond to, but please, go ahead.
Thank you. Obviously, the question is on the paper, Councillor Forrest, and I appreciate and thank you for the question. I think it does highlight there's a couple of things that as warm rooms are up and coming now, I think as responsible councillors, we should be all aware of where our warm rooms are so we can direct our residents to those warm rooms. And I know there's a couple now in Mount Sorin, and I'm sure they are in your areas too. So I think it's really important that we are, as we have a local responsibility to know where they are. And also the community facilities grants are also focused on cost of living issues. So the grants that have been approved to date for this last round will be purely focused on cost of living concerns. So I'm hoping that allays some of your concerns. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Item 10.9, Town Centre Empty Properties. Councillor Draycott, would you like to ask your supplementary question?
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. 10 properties now standing empty in Bedford Square, as confirmed in the answer, Madam Mayor. So my question to the leader is, with the cost of the scheme now over £4.2 million and still potential to rise, as I say, half of the shops on Bedford Square empty and a large public house possibly soon will be, how has these slabs from China help those local businesses? Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Boker, would you like to respond?
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm afraid, Councillor Draycott, I don't see the correlation between empty shops and what we spent on what was a public realm infrastructure improvement area. And the cost, unfortunately, has gone up because of the cost of materials, as you well know, and a number of problems that were discovered when they started the work. So you have a very comprehensive breakdown of the shops that have closed and why. We can't stop traders, shopkeepers retiring, etc. So if there's anything you don't understand, because this isn't the first time you've asked this question, if there's anything you don't understand in what I think is quite a comprehensive, detailed answer, can you please talk to me after council during the week, this week, and we can have a Zoom call about it, because I think you need to stop asking this same question over and over and over again.
Thank you, Councillor Boker. Right, we'll move on to item 11, minute references. There are no minute references. So, item 12, executive decisions exempt from call-ins. This is page 98. This is a report to inform the council of decisions which were exempt from call-in in accordance with scrutiny committee procedure 11.9. If any councillor would like to ask a question, please indicate you wish to do so by raising your hand. Councillor Mear.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Actually, I'm not going to talk about this. What I wanted to, and hopefully Councillor Morgan will agree, is congratulate the village of Barrow upon Soar for their warm Barrow. And I picked this up from the chief executive's tweet, and they've done a whole timetable of when rooms and places are going to be available throughout the winter months in the village. And I thought that was absolutely fantastic. And I didn't know where else to put it in, and I thought I'd put it in here and sneak in and congratulate that village for getting off to a very good start. Thank you. And the chief executive for tweeting it or retweeting it.
Councillor Morgan, would you like to respond?
I'm speechless, Madam Mayor.
There's a first. Right, let's move on to item 13, delegation of executive functions to the leader, page 105. This is a report to inform the council of a delegation of executive functions to the leader. If any councillor would like to ask a question, please indicate that you wish to do so by raising your hand. Councillor Draycott.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and I hope Councillor Boker is not going to invite me to another meeting.
I've raised this matter previously before at council, and I can inform everybody that finally Councillor Morgan has accepted that he gives himself the executive powers referred to in these reports. So moving on to the actual report, I would make the point that the long-running excuse for this lack of democracy in the report still states, quote, the rising rates of COVID being the reason. As we all know currently, fingers crossed, infection rates are reducing and the virus is becoming the norm. So why that still remains one of the reasons, I'm baffled, Madam Mayor. The report, though, tonight does have an additional reason. It also now states that it's necessary when quorum requirements are not met. So, Madam Mayor, looking at Cabinet members' attendance
figures, Councillor Draycott.
For the last year, I would say maybe that's the reason executive powers have been taken, Madam Mayor. Thank you.
Councillor Morgan, would you like to respond?
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. Look, this is a repeat of the last council session. So shortly after the last council meeting, Her Majesty passed away. Those powers that you criticised at the last meeting, unfortunately, became extremely necessary. We had a council meeting or cabinet meeting that couldn't take place because it was during the period of mourning. There were two items on that cabinet meeting that were considered by the chief exec to be very necessary, one in relation to a housing contract, and as a result we were able to hold an informal cabinet meeting, which is a requirement of the procedures, to make a recommendation to Mead so that I could actually then use those powers to actually carry out what was an essential piece of cabinet work, and we could then proceed with the powers. As far as rising COVID, a few weeks later, we actually had three members of cabinet who were isolating either because of confirmed COVID or expected. We didn't actually have to cancel the meeting, but we were...
Thank you, Councillor Morgan. Now move on to item 14, appointment committee to committees. Are there any changes to appointments to committees? I take silence to mean that there are no changes to council committees. So that is the end of the meeting. Thank you all very much. I wish you all a very happy Christmas and a prosperous new year. And I'll see you on the 23rd of January.